Alright, what is up everybody? This is Alex once again with the AOT Newsflash Network. This is episode 39, Holy Eternal Spoilers, Batman. I'm sure you know what we're about to talk about tonight. But as always, I am joined by some guest hosts. No longer a disembodied voice, we have Steven Spellpierce here.
What's up, hey guys. Steven?
You hear that? He's not going through a speaker on my end or your end now. Well, on your end, yes, but yeah, he's here in person.
I will no longer be just in your left ear. Yeah.
You can. That was an issue. I fixed that.
He's gonna find you, and he will be there soon.
In your left ear,
whispering sweet, sweet nothings.
Yeah. What was that black enchantment creature from Theros plot called? The
brain maggot.
Yeah, Steven's a brain maggot.
Oh my. That's a little extreme. Have you seen that promo art?
Ooh.
Just real quick, because this is relevant to the podcast. The person who spoiled the existence of an Eternal Master has also made another post.
Before the end of the Eternal Master spoilers, when there's one that's a new...
Oh!
This is the guy who called the Eternal Master
spoilers. Okay, we'll get to that. That's... Mm-hmm. Holy cow. And thank you, Sean.
James Black is in the squad chat.
Sean is also here with us, dropping massive... potential spoilers. What's going on, Sean?
How's it going?
He was creeping on my doorstep when we got here.
Yeah, just hanging out playing Hearthstone, this Eternal Masters. I've never been as excited for Magic as I am with this Eternal Master.
Oh,
Eternal
my gosh. Master. Super excited.
Just because I can't wait to play against little kids and play some of these cards and then be like, that does what? Because kids aren't familiar with strong spells anymore. They're familiar with strong creatures, my spells.
Necropotence? You're doing what?
No, I just...
Draw my whole deck, kid.
I just really want to, like... him to Tauraki kid and then balance the kid and they go those two things were ever printed but
no,
where's Flinthook for
into him.
Oh, that's fair,
but we're getting ahead of ourselves. We'll get
no then
that.
Our creature count goes up. I want zero creatures on board run balance.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. We also have Justin Forkenrath, aristocrat, here tonight. What's going on, Justin?
Not much, getting excited about some specific cards that I'm not allowed to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, I do want to go ahead and preface that we're not going to talk about all the spoilers. As of right now, there are 54. I'm going to refresh and find out. Yeah, there are 54 spoiled cards from Eternal Masters. We're going to talk about a handful of them.
One fifth of the way there.
And we'll probably have like over half by the end of the week. Yeah. That's my guess.
This podcast is going to go up and the whole set's going to be out. Everybody's like, these guys don't know good cards. What about all these other ones?
Yeah, it'll be it's like 60 by the time we're over. So that happened during... Shadow spoilers.
Yeah, it was one of the sets.
Three cards
that
got spoiled as soon as I stopped recording one night.
I think I remember us doing that once or twice.
But anyway, so lots to talk about tonight, Eternal Master spoilers, but we're going to start off tonight's episode with a little bit of talking about the modern weekend. Oh God, Sean, broke a cardinal rule.
It's on silent. Don't worry about it.
It's because you didn't introduce
it. That's you telling.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I didn't get special introduced.
Drum roll.
Hello.
So anyway, we had Modern Weekend was this weekend, which was basically we had two GPs, one in Los Angeles and a second in Charlotte.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we had one GP and one fiasco.
We had one and a half GPs, technically. Talking about GP LA first, some cool things happened there. We had the youngest GP finalist in the history of Magic ever, who, little kid named Ethan, 13 years old, playing Affinity against his opponent who's on Merfolk. And did you guys watch any of that top 8 coverage or any of the coverage at all?
I did not.
We had to go straight to the airport.
That's unfortunate. Okay.
I was busy helping my girlfriend move all day.
What's a girlfriend? That depends on girlfriends.
You know, it's like this mystical thing that they talk about on like TV and comics and things.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mystical, huh? Anyway. Yeah.
but do they look for things?
Oh, snap. She's a tutor.
Oh, snap. Is she a tutor?
Actually, yeah.
Could you trace back to her lineage and that she's actually a tutor, you know?
Oh, no. I was referring to she helps people out in class.
Oh, that she actually is a tutor.
Yeah. There we go.
Real world application, guys.
Yep.
But anyway, so little kid Ethan lost to Merfolk, who drew like a golden god, I'm convinced. Hercule's Recall, exactly when he needed it. Both games 2 and 3. Just absolutely disgusting. a couple of cool things that I saw on camera was the... Let me set the scene for you guys. So Mono Blue Tron is playing against, I believe it was a Obzon or Jund deck. The Jund opponent has Liliana ready to ultimate on his next turn. The Blue Tron player has a Mindslaver in play and has all but one Urza's Mind to activate it and pass. Draws for his turn and slams the Urza's Mind.
Oof.
Sacks the Mindslaver and says, I'm going to take your next turn. Says, okay. Takes his opponent's next turn and says, all right, I'm going to ultimate Liliana, targeting you. Separates everything into two piles. One pile had nothing. The other pile had everything else. And said, you can sacrifice the pile with everything in it. The only thing he got back was the Persistent Kitchen Minx. And the coverage went both, like the Twitch stream went nuts, but just, I've never seen so many, you know, epic top deck hashtags in my life, which is off the top. It was absolutely amazing. So that was pretty cool. For all of you, I guess, not Timmy players out there, maybe, there was a mill deck that made day two. Did you guys see this at all?
Yeah, it fell apart, but yeah, it made day two.
I think there was a game he played against Scapeshift where his opponent got ghost quartered and he was able to go Archive Trap, Surgical Extraction on your Valakuts.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, just the two Archive Traps probably took care of enough mountains.
Yeah.
That is also true.
It was bold to run it with all the Nahiri hype, with the possibility of Emrakul's running around.
Yeah.
But the logic behind it being that eventually over game, you just don't play your Mind Funerals until the last minute.
Yeah.
And by the time you play your Mind Funerals, they've played most of their lands, and so you get to eat most of their deck anyway.
Yeah.
And they ran the main deck 3 Crypt Incursions and stuff.
Which is a pretty cool stuff.
Yeah. Gain a bunch of life. That's fine.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Nahiri, Sean, and that's kind of the deck that's been supposedly taking the modern by storm. It's the Jeskai Harbinger deck where you have Nahiri the Harbinger plussing up to get Emrakul, and you get Emrakul, and you kill your opponent. Didn't see it mostly all weekend. I mean, what do you guys think on that? Steven?
I crushed it in the draw bracket.
Okay. Steven was at GPLA. You can tell us your story here in a minute. We'll get to that. Justin, what are your thoughts on that? Nahiri
Harbinger.
I was a little
disappointed not seeing it because I think it's a really sweet deck. I think
also is taking turns.
That's because Steven didn't get there and let us all down. That's what Alex is referencing.
That's a meta reference right there, guys.
But yeah, you know, I thought it was a pretty sweet deck.
Hugs.
You know, taking some new cards and finding some applications for them in Modern is always an awesome thing. So seeing one that was doing well for a little while and then suddenly fell off was a little disappointing. I want to go back and see if I can, you know, was it just like not a lot of people showed up with that deck or if people just had enough hate for it. I haven't done enough research. I haven't done enough research on anything beyond top 8 for the GPs, so I'm not really sure what caused it to fall off.
Yeah, what about you, Sean? What do you think about Nahiri not really getting Nahir?
It was hyped a lot going in. There were decks all over the place, not just the Jeskai splashing it.
Mm-hmm.
There was the Jeskai list. There was the Naya Through the Breach Prime Time Nahiri deck that was running it. I had seen a Jundless 5-0 an event, and it splashed Nahiri and Lingering Souls.
Oh, geez.
And it was kind of at the point where, like, when I first reviewed the set, like, I said Nahiri, like, might have some applications in Modern because of the search ability, but as a card, I wasn't a big fan, and I'm still not a huge fan. Because a lot of times you see a lot of players plus her and do nothing. Or her minus is good, she gets to eat a couple things, but unless you're getting the Emrakul, like, or something fat off of it, like, she's not, you're going to get something worth it.
Yeah.
So I wasn't the biggest fan of her, and I'm still not the hugest fan of her. I think she kind of came out of nowhere, and I think people are starting to kind of like figure out how to battle that situation. You have the briberies, pithy needles, things like that can interact. But I was worried about her originally because when I saw the Jundalist splashing her, I kind of realized like if every deck starts to splash these 3 Nahiris and this 1 Emrakul and then do whatever else it's going to do normally, unless it's an aggro deck, everything else can splash that pretty easily.
Yeah.
Then you're going to have the situation where all these decks start having access to white hate board cards. and the white hate only being in a few decks is the only reason Modern's a healthy format. Because white has the best hate sideboards. Stony Silence, Rest in Peace, things like that. There's decks like Affinity and the updated version of Eggs and Dredge that just can't exist if there's a bunch of white sideboards.
Mm-hmm.
So before Nahiri popped up, there wasn't a ton of white sideboards. Coco was your bad matchup because they had the white cards.
Right.
But now if Jund has those white cards and so forth, things get a lot worse. So I'm actually kind of glad that she's not as dominant as people were originally saying she was going to be. Just because I don't want all these white sideboards, because then the format starts getting really, like, clogged up.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Very, very inbred, yeah.
And see, I think another reason why Nahiri actually didn't do quite as well is because as a planeswalker, outside of her ultimate, she doesn't do enough.
Exactly. Her, a lot of people plus and do nothing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then the minus is fine, but a lot of people plus and just don't do anything.
I mean, even if they're just drawing a card, like, compare it to, like, Jace Architect of Thought, where the plus saves you life, and the minus gets you more cards than like what Nahiri could, and it's very like the situations that you can use those abilities are extended. Like whereas Nahiri only hits a tapped creature, well, if the creature's important, they're not going to attack.
Yeah.
If the artifact's important, they're not going to tap it.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot more to play around, like the Nahiri, and just drawing a card isn't enough.
Well, and it's not even drawing a card. The red loot is the worst of the two loots. And the red loot's just bad. Like, unless you have, like, this spare land. Like, the Jund list was good because you could take advantage of it because it ran Lingering Souls in the same list. Yeah. So you could pitch Lingering Souls and
Powers
get 2-1
off.
Right. So, like, Nahiri worked in that list a little bit better, but a lot of the Nahiri list didn't have these flashback cards. Mm-hmm. So you were just pitching something saying maybe I'll snapcaster it later. So a lot of people just weren't pitching. It's like, do I pitch this mana leak? Is anything going to be better than this mana leak?
Yeah.
And because it's a slower card, by the time you got to the point where you're playing Nahiri and doing some stuff with her, you can't afford to miss land drop, so they can't pitch lands. And you've probably used a lot of resources to survive any aggressive start. So you probably don't have a whole lot to pitch. So a lot of times she just sits there, plus do nothing, plus do nothing, plus do nothing. Hopefully they haven't done anything, and now we get to go off.
Yeah.
And so it was... Her blow up is just so good, but I don't think a lot of people probably didn't expect these Jeskai decks to blow her up into Imrakul the first few weeks.
Yeah.
Like, especially that first few iterations of it. They were like ultimate. You're like, okay, you go get a Resto or something like that. But it's like, get this Imrakul. But now that people know what's happening, there's a lot of. Well, I mean, there's also a lot of Grafdigger's Cages floating around just because of the Coco decks.
Yeah.
And Grafdigger's Cage stops that interaction as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's enough intergovernmental hate to where she's going to be held down some, which is good because that means we won't have all this white hate.
Yeah. And a lot of the, like we mentioned, Grafdigger's Cage, we mentioned Pithy Needle, things like that, a lot of those artifacts that do hate on her can't even be targeted by her because they don't tap.
Yep. Yeah,
it's interesting though because, you know, I played a lot of Jeskai Control when Modern was first becoming a thing, and it's probably the slowest deck in the format.
Mm-hmm.
But giving the deck an angle like this to attack from, you know, you play Nahiri and it basically says, alright, suspend two, cast Imrakul. And so we saw, I think it was Pete Ingram beat his teammates at one of the SCG Opens recently in a play against Infect. And against Infect, you absolutely have to have a win con like that can actually kill them in a reasonable amount of time, because if you're just playing a typical Jeskai Control where it's okay, I'm going to draw some counter magic, draw some rule spells, and kind of, you know, just card advantage of this game, your opponent's sitting there amassing pump spells and protection spells, and eventually they're going to kill you regardless of how many cards you've drawn.
Yeah.
So I do like it in that regard. I don't like it as much as I thought I would have. I held back on buying a bunch of them.
Yeah, she's at her peak. I mean, the Jeskai deck still runs into the same flaw it had before Nahiri, which is we do not have a fast, reliable, protectable clock.
Yeah.
Like, all these decks did was like, alright, well, these Grixis decks now have two Dreadbores. And these... Yeah. Like, there's just all these other things people started doing just to hedge the match. The format is still just a little too all over the place for a control deck to truly survive the 10 and 12 turns that it truly wants to do.
So I think Justin said it right, where it's cool to see cards like Nahiri come into the format and put a new spin on archetypes, but it's not breaking the world, breaking the face of Modern and all that. So let's move on to the half GP that we had in Charlotte. So everything was going according to plan up until, I believe it was round 3.
So as soon as the buys stopped.
Yeah, as soon as people come off buys, all the pros are done, you know, they're done with their snacks and all that. They come into round 3 and they finish round 3. As soon as round 3 is over, the event system crashed. So, you know, we've all played in GPs. We've all played in big events where the computer is your best friend at pairing up against the right person and not the wrong person. Did you guys play at, it was an SCG event here in the Dallas Fort Worth area where they messed up round three and had to repair the entire event and the line wrapped around the convention center? I know I was there.
Yeah.
I lost round one and got put at the top table.
Yeah. That was really funny too, because they saw the line start to go out the door and they're like, whoa, don't leave yet. Everyone go sit down.
Yeah.
Play Commander, do something. Have fun. We'll be back in an hour.
When I first read about this, all I could think of is the movie with Will Ferrell, Semi-Pro. Has anybody ever seen that? Whenever they go to a commercial break in the basketball game, the moment the commercials go on, Will Ferrell just shouts, like, somebody hit somebody, and it just turns into this brawl. And as soon as the show's back on, they're all, like, stumbling back into their positions like nothing happened. That's how I pictured the judge staff working at this. It was just like, just, like, freaking out and running all over the place.
Well, things got a little bit worse, apparently. The system crashes, and after a delay, they start round four, but the pairings had now been randomized. So if you're a 3-0 player, you could have probably played against a 1-2, a 2-1, or God forbid, an 0-3. And that just starts to mess with pairings altogether across the entire board. After another round delay, they announced that they could fix the problem, and all remaining Swiss rounds would now be played with random pairings. Problem one right there. All of a sudden, your tiebreakers go out the window. Your ability to make, day two in any sort of significant fashion go out the window. So, you got anything on this?
Oh, yeah. The tiebreakers were reset for day two, specifically because of the random pairings.
And I thought I heard somewhere that they, when they did that, they actually didn't do that after the fact.
Oh, that's just what I had heard.
Yeah.
LA. So, I'm not entirely sure.
We don't have a clear statement from anybody running this, so we're all just kind of going off word of mouth.
Yeah, that is actually very true. Now, of course, after this was all said and done, they basically said they offered all players the chance to drop from the event with a full refund, as I understand it, and they were able to get a infinite challenge badge as compensation, which is basically allowing you to play. And I think there were upwards of 3 challenges a day that there were basically different tournaments that you could play in for free, and I think they handed out upwards of 1,000 of these things. I mean,
there's a ton of infinity.
Well, there was at least over 500 drops.
Right.
Initially. And so.
Plus anybody who bought the braces.
Yeah, anyone who bought them.
Because the braces normally have good value if you're not there to like, if you're there trying to grind value, the bracelets are more valuable than the tournament.
Yeah.
If you're not trying to play the tournament.
Yep.
Yeah. And now there's plenty of conspiracies floating around that we're not going to touch on because that's not the show.
I'm just surprised, and I know the system, I'm not a judge, so I've never run the system. I've watched other judges doing stuff. I'm just surprised the system doesn't have like a mass export option where you can just export all the DCI numbers and standings to a Word document and then repaste it into a new Word and set up a new event.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like that wouldn't be a hard program. I know Wizards doesn't like to pay programmers, but I feel like that wouldn't be a hard programming thing to institute. I don't think I've ever heard of them running into something.
Well, they do now.
What?
The Microsoft CEO.
Huh?
He's Mr. Like, Cox.
Yeah, he's sort of a programmer.
Yeah. He does computer things with science and stuff.
Does he work for Wizards?
Yeah, he's the new CEO.
Oh.
Didn't you listen to the episode?
No, I didn't listen to that episode.
Oh, jeez.
I've been listening to audiobooks a lot lately, man. All right, just trying to get smarter.
Doing some book learning. Okay.
It's mystery novels.
Considering the
funny.
Fact that they've announced a conspiracy theory, I think that clearly there's a conspiracy going on.
Because conspiracy sets coming out. Stop.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Take your allies home.
This has been a bad year and a half for Wizards. Like,
yeah.
They trip over themselves with poorly handling social situations.
Yeah.
And then they have these honest mistakes happen, which in a vacuum, people would be like, well, that's unfortunate. But because of the history we've had with them where they're frustrating a lot of people, people are going, I'm going to kick you while you're down. People are just angry about it.
Yeah, and it's amazing that this is a software that everybody uses. The Pro Tour uses this, GPs, SCG events.
I was saying, which software do they use? Because I know there's multiple forms. They didn't use Word, I thought. I thought this was a different one.
Oh, I don't know then. I don't actually know.
I remember there was like GP San Antonio at one point where they tried the new trial one that gave the new slips, and the new slips looked really cool. Mm-hmm. And like after round one, they're like, this system's not working. So they had to like move everything to Word.
Sure, sure.
So partially it might be that instead of just upgrading Word, there's like 2 or 3 versions of the software. And it's like, maybe you should just make one good Word.
One proprietary, yeah. Well, what kind of surprised me is like, I don't know how the system works. I'm not going to claim to know that at all. But if they keep the slips, you know, keep it until the round has started and they're sure that everything is correct, and then throw them away.
Oh, no. They keep them throughout the tournament.
They keep the whole tournament. Oh, so yeah. They go back and review.
That's even better. Yeah. So just go back and just be like, all right, we can pull everything. Because it's a hard copy right there, too, and you could...
Well, it wasn't a matter of that. They were just saying the time they would lose to redo this whole setup of three rounds and re-enter everybody, because they'd have to create a new event. Because for whatever reason, there's not a button you can click that says standings by rank. There's like, I guess there's not a button option.
Sure.
I don't, it must be part of the setup. Whoever set it all up accidentally clicked randomize. And you probably can't go back and undo that. Like, that's my assumption. I haven't used the system.
Okay.
But they were saying it would take so long to redo the whole event that that would push them back hours.
Yeah.
And so they would be there forever. Because it was a pretty... It's modern GPs are getting pretty fair turnout, which makes you wonder why we're dropping them as Pro Tours, but unrelated.
No, they had to sweep that under the rug with Platinum Pro thing.
Right.
Right. But that... Then what had they sweep under the rug? The lawsuits then?
We're not addressing the lawsuits. Whoa. I'll say a lot of negative things, but I'm not touching that one.
That's fair. Like we said, Wizards has had a bad year.
Wizards has had a rough year.
But have you heard about their wonderful game, Magic the Gathering?
Right?
Let's get back to our roots.
They print this cardboard that has pictures on it.
Yeah.
It's totally
and
rad.
We get shiny new pictures here in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And then it just demands of your wallet, just like constantly.
Yeah. That's okay.
It's
a beautiful thing. Yeah.
Wizards
like,
giveth,
you know?
And Wizards taketh away.
Because if this thing got too fat, it would be cumbersome. So, you know, like, them keeping my wallet empty.
Yeah.
Keeping my wallet empty allows me to walk freely without having this heavy wallet in my backpack.
So you replace your with a backpack full of magic cards.
Exactly.
So that the typical pickpocketer goes for your wallet, gets nothing when they should have gone for your backpack the whole time.
Exactly.
All right.
You know, they get like 10, 20 grand if they go for my backpack. They get nothing.
Whoa, guys.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I don't have that.
I don't carry my whole collection.
I don't even have that.
Did you hear about the theft situation that
That's
you
what I'm referencing.
Okay, well, there we go.
See, I love this game, but I there's nothing I want more than another game that's equally awesome design to come out to just force them to actually get a corporate that pays attention to think things through.
Right.
Stop just like firing from the hip because they know there's no other option.
If Hearthstone could somehow bring an RNG to a card game,
oh my god,
and like have it be real, I think that would be hilarious. If they're just like, all right, we're gonna have a go at this, and they're just like, boom, immediate falling because of all the.
If they could find a way to handle the randomization aspect, that part's uncopyable. But
yeah.
I don't know. I love Magic, and I hate how they run it.
That's why we're here. That's why we're talking about it. That's why we're all around my table right now.
This just reminds me of like watching NFL. Like I armchair quarterback all the time. Like they mess up, and I'm like, you should have done this. Mind you, if I'm in that boat, I probably would have been like, sure, just go and make it random. Who cares? And then surely they won't get angry. It's a card game. And then the next day, I'll be like, oh, whoever said that's an idiot. Should have done that. Like. Hindsight for everybody's 2020. That being said, since I'm hindsighting, I get to act like I know what's going on. They're all idiots. Yeah.
We're all experts. We're all coaches. We're great.
Yeah. Just don't ask me in advance of a problem. I have to have
my hindsight first. Yeah. I have to have the research done already before I ask me a question about something that hasn't happened yet. So yeah, 1.5 GPs. Things will get better, hopefully. Hopefully they can fix the system. I hope they can. But let's move on to something that's a lot more exciting that started up on Monday of this week. So, it's been a couple weeks, that we had our first look at Eternal Masters. We got Force of Will and Wasteland Spoil, and we've all been kind of like, what's going to be in this set? We've all had this ridiculously baseless speculation about things. We can actually say what's in the set now.
So, we got Force, and we got Wasteland, and we hit a fork in the road. And Narcissistic Sean, which is the traditional route, said... Now we get a bunch of garbage cards, and it's going to be terrible, and I'm going to hate it. And I love when Narcissistic Sean's wrong.
Yeah.
I love it.
This is more like eternally optimistic,
yeah, this
Sean.
This is bringing me back to my Zendikar days when I first started playing the game, and I'm like, we can play these brews, because I'm like, there is hope in the world. This isn't a terrible set. I originally thought this set was going to be garbage.
Yeah, this is absolutely blowing my mind.
That's so little
level, the level of cards that I would have... never guessed would have been reprinted or being reprinted in this set. Like,
I was actually right on more than I expected, and I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, we had a couple of good talks about what we thought, but they've gone above and beyond.
Oh, yeah.
And they've also sucker punched us a few times, too. I'm looking at you, Wrath of God.
No, why?
Can we talk about the dragon, the 6/5 trampoline haste dragon?
Oh yeah, before
like,
we,
what
we,
is he
we
here?
Really dig into this, let's talk about freaking Rorik's Bladewing. He's the only he's one of two legendary creatures in the set. He's a 6/5 for 3 red flying haste.
It's still a limited format, and that dude is a house.
I mean, it really is.
Yeah. It's like, bash you for 6 on turn 6 without you having anything to do about it.
Or if you...
block with Baleful Strix.
Sneak attack them with it.
That sounds also like a possibility that I don't want to do.
But he doesn't have trample.
I want to keep my 6/5 in play.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
What's your problem with Wrath of God? It's a beautiful Wrath of God.
It is, but it's not Damnation.
You knew you weren't going to get Damnation.
I knew you weren't going to get Damnation, but I mean...
The moment they printed Toxic Deluge, you're like, well, there goes Damnation.
Yeah, and Void. Void's sweet.
Yeah. They got to save something. Like, this has been my whole thing this whole time, is these spoilers look sweet, and so it's like, oh, this Conspiracy 2, you're back. And Eldritch Moon, like, your backs are against a wall right now. Like, people are still going to be talking about these cards while your pre-release is happening for Conspiracy 2 and Eldritch Moon.
We'll be drafting this in the corner. Like, oh, we have a pre-release for Eldritch Moon to play in? Oh, crap.
Do we have Eternal Masters boxes?
Yeah. Like, the Eldritch Moon will still get its hype being standard cards, but Conspiracy 2 is going to have to actually slaughter Conspiracy 1 and like, awesomeness to keep up with this. Like, I was surprised they put them both together in the summer. Yeah. It's like, you got to put, like, true names and things like that in there in order to keep
up. Yeah, and we've already made some speculation about what we will see in Mar Masters 2017 because of this. I mean, this is setting... I think just from seeing only, 54 cards pulled so far, this is now the... Like, this is, to me, what Modern Masters 1 looked like, and what Modern Masters 2 should have looked like.
But this is beyond even Modern Masters 1, because it's helping a format that is so much on life support.
Right, absolutely.
And needed more help. You couldn't just CPR it. If
this is the gold standard going forward, we're good.
I don't think it is.
No, there's no way they can
I think this is just shock paddles to keep the breath going, and then next time they'll go back to just regular CPR. Like, this is the, like, if we don't get it woken up quick... there's never going to be another Eternal Masters.
Yeah, and see, like, I also feel like they're going to make a reserve list announcement before too long as well.
I said it'll be, like, the week before the release.
Yeah.
Because then everybody who was thinking about it but being like, oh, no, when am I ever going to play these cards, are now going to see that they're going to make an accessible Eternal format, getting rid of the reserve list or doing something about it, and everyone's going to show up at the Eternal Masters release. Yeah.
Let's just not have the shoehorn. We're doing this or we're not doing this. Well, like they've been.
You showed us that message before we started, John.
Yes. Oh yes.
We'll talk about that here in a second. Yes. But let's go ahead and talk about some cards first. And I kind of tried to segue into Sean's card, but it didn't quite go with me on that. That's okay.
I'm sorry, man. I'm just so hyped right now.
Alex was too sneaky.
He's my best friend.
My sneak attack wasn't. So it was too sneaky.
I know, man.
It was so overt, it was covert.
I was really dumb. Like, you said it, and I immediately was like, that card's bad. Card's not bad. I'm thinking from Limited.
All right, so Sean, tell us about some cards tell us about the favorite cards and your appropriate hype level you've assigned to each of these cards.
Okay, so we'll start with our first one that I whiffed on. My big excitement from the set, and I won't go super into detail, it's just the fact that they're giving us all the tools possible to play a lot of established, good Legacy decks.
Yes.
So my first one comes from one of my favorite Legacy decks. I've proxied it and played it, but I've never had the money to play the deck because every piece is so expensive, and that is Sneak Attack.
What does it do?
A Sneak Attack is an enchantment, normally I hate, 3 and a red. You pay 1 red, and you put a creature card from your hand onto the battlefield. It gets haste. You sacrifice it at the beginning of the next end step. And it does not even give it the... I didn't realize. It doesn't give the caveat of it being your turn. You can just do it on your opponent's turn if you want. So Sneak Attack basically in Legacy is...
Oh,
not Modern. That's through the breach. In Legacy is you Sneak Attack Imrakul. It gets haste. You attack for 15, Annihilator 6. You Sneak Attack Grizzlebrand. You draw 7 cards. You attack for 7. You draw 7 more.
Yep.
And then you have Sneak Attack Fuel forever.
Yep.
And it goes in the Show and Tell deck. I don't know if we will. I doubt we'll get a Show and Tell because it'd probably be a Mythic if we were.
Yeah.
But it's a similar effect. It's just that each person puts something into play. But that deck is super expensive, hard to get into because it needed Force of Will, Sneak Attack, all these lands. And so now that we're getting Sneak Attack, that's one piece down that we don't have to worry about. The deck, that card's just super fun because it goes in one of the most fun decks. It's like Reanimator, but there's less hate for it.
Yeah.
Because when I first ever tested Legacy, I wanted to build Reanimator, but then I saw the graveyard hate. And so it's basically Reanimator that skips the graveyard portion.
Yeah.
So it's really, really good. We want me to go through.
Yeah. And real quick, you mentioned, you know, it would be, if we got Joe and Delphi, probably a mythic. We've got, I think, almost all the mythics pulled so far, except for the green ones, for whatever reason.
They don't.
And we have one white one, right?
We have one more white to go.
We have Caracas.
I think that'll count as a land mythic, not as a white mythic.
Yeah. I don't think it counts as a white
but
mythic.
But it still counts against the counts for
total
mythic
mythics.
Spells.
Yeah.
So we've got a majority of the colors already filled out.
Which is interesting. It's weird they didn't save any, which means they're probably going to have some really exciting rares because they like to sandbag a little bit.
Yeah.
That being said, the green mythics are normally because they just like to slide them in there as like a sorry.
We remember what happened with Shadows. It was Seasons Past and then that Hydra.
Which actually are both really good cards.
Yeah, they're both fine.
After the fact now.
But I thought
Seasons Past made a pretty big impact for Standard.
It did, but everyone was just like, really?
I said that was good.
Okay.
It was like a draw five.
Yeah, it's good. But to save that for last, we all just kind of look at it and go, really?
Yeah, that's true.
This is it?
Yeah.
Now, that being said, the suspects on Green Mythics, it might be really great, and that might be why they're holding it. Because it's going to help out a couple
things. Like Glimpse, Natural Order, things like that.
Yeah. So,
all right.
Wait,
so what is.
Are those?
I don't think they are.
Okay.
No,
Natural
not.
Order might.
I don't think it is.
No, it's
okay.
not. Anyway.
I was thinking Crater Hoof. Because Hoof, there it is. And that's also a limited card. You can't have it rare.
Yeah.
Goes good in the elf deck.
It does.
Yeah.
And you know what else? Like, there's a couple mana dorks we have, too. But
oh, yeah. All right. What else is on here? All
right. Let's see.
Can we Crater
Hoof?
From Wander into Crater Hoof? I don't think we can.
Can you be what?
What's Crater Hoof's mana cost?
Eight.
Eight? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so that's
work.
Opposite.
No.
Still, though.
So I think my next card would just be, again, following the line of me really liking that they're giving this to the archetypes, is the only Legacy deck I've ever played non-proxied in a tournament was an SCG, and a friend of mine let me borrow Miracles. So Sensei's Divining Top. I own one. Now I'll be able to get some more of them.
It has the sickest new art.
I like the art. I think the art's pretty cool. I like the old art, too, a whole lot.
Yeah.
But... it'll be interesting to see, like, since it's at a rare, it's not a mythic, so you will see a fair number of these popping up. I still think it's probably limited playable. It'll be interesting to see, like, how opponents who have never played against it feel about how much time it adds to a game.
It's
interesting because if it's going to go the Modern Masters 2015 route and multiple of these cards end up getting banned, because Sensei's Top, people have mentioned getting banned a number of times before.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the time it adds to every game.
Yeah.
The like, you did something, well, let me look at the top three. Oh, now you're doing this, let me look at the top three. And part of that, it comes down to, like, I'd written a little bit about this at one point on an article, was that there's all this slow play garbage where people, like, overact. It's like, you know your top three. Like, if it, what they're doing doesn't impact your top three, quit looking every 2 seconds. But
yeah.
Some people do it. But all in all, it enables Legacy Miracles is one of the more accessible because it doesn't need the dual lands as much. And so we're getting multiple of their pieces in this set. So Legacy Miracles, Legacy Stoneblade are going to be much more accessible, especially because Top is in the set. Counterbalance isn't as expensive. So we gain access to those decks that aren't really too bad mana base-wise. Like, you can run those with just basics. I've seen it happen. When the format goes very wasteland heavy, I've seen Miracle decks that don't run the dual lands.
Yeah.
So,
and they play, like, a mountain for their bolts and things like that.
Yeah, they'll play off-red duels. Just so they can get the mountain and bolt something, and then if the mountain gets destroyed, they don't care after that. But they're blue and white, so they'll run tons of planes and islands, only like one or two duels.
Because a lot of them play Bloodmen on the sideboard too to really go ham on it.
Yeah, and they have the Monastery Mentor, which is recently in Standard. And Treat the Angels isn't super expensive. Terminus isn't super expensive. Like, all the expensive cards in the Miracles and the Stoneblade decks, for the most part, have either recently been in Standard or have been GP promos like Batterskull and Stoneforge Mystic.
Yeah.
So they're accessible decks.
Yeah, and we're definitely going to, you mentioned, decks that, are relatively cheap. We're going to talk about the decks that actually will port from Modern into Legacy decks. We'll probably talk about that in a later episode so we have the entire set revealed. We can kind of actually say, yes, you can take this deck and turn it into this deck in Legacy without spending X amount of dollars.
Or if you want to get lands, just buy a whole bunch of EMA.
That is also true because Steven's crying right now.
I've lost quite a lot on that. But it's okay because that means more people are going to play Legacy.
Yeah.
And to be fair, like, they said it's going to be a limited print run, so all those cards are probably going to bounce back anyway.
They'll bounce back, yeah.
Especially the ones that have the new art on them. Yeah. And the first time foils for a lot
but,
of these.
Yeah. But that Wasteland, that's... No, like, that foil is not better than the current Judge promo or the original Judge promo.
Absolutely not.
I mean, it really depends on how the cloud in the background is foiled. Like, if that's the foil and then the, like, couple pebbles in the road, like, I think it could be really sweet, though.
Yeah. That is very true. Very true. I like how it's the City of Brass.
Yep. Yeah. That's really entertaining.
That was the first thing that popped out to me. Yeah, it's super sweet.
Yeah.
What else is on your list of hype cards?
Then we also have Entomb.
Yeah.
Again, following the same route, and it's just that they are sticking to the idea of printing known Legacy decks more than I expected them to. Entomb, one black, instant, search your library for a creature, put it into your graveyard. It enables you to cast Reanimate, enables you to cast Exhume, Animate Dead, and so it's making it like a much more accessible... It's a tutor just for a creature under the yard, and it Reanimator is a super powerful...
That's for any card.
Oh, for any card. That's right, yeah. For any card. Search library for a card and put it in your graveyard, not just creature. Normally, a lot of people use it for the creature because they'll just end of your turn, put Grizzlebrand in the graveyard, untap, reanimate, I lose 8 life, I get a Grizzlebrand, and I start drawing cards.
Yeah.
And so, with the blue cards being in this set that we're going to get, now we'll also have the counter spells to actually run the true blue-black version that gets to protect the combo. Because just the mono-black one doesn't get to protect it, and normally gets run over.
Yeah.
So that's super exciting. And then the last one is just Hymn to Torok, mostly because I'm very, very excited to watch kids who have never played these cards have a hymn cast against them and realize, I don't choose the cards, this is random. Like, oh man, like the punishment, if you're on the play and you hymn your opponent and you snag two of their lands or something, sometimes the game's just done. Hymn is such a backbreaking card. If you've ever had hymn cast against you or cast for you, it is so dumb. It's absolutely absurd.
I can't wait for someone to go Cabal Therapy you, him you. All right.
Oh.
What's that last card in your hand? Got it.
Flashback right. Cabal Therapy?
Yeah. Jeez.
Oh, the him to Torok. If you play some pre-releases, which I'm planning on playing,
please
too,
don't pass it. Please don't.
Yeah, this is a card that I think you could easily first pick.
It's a 2-for-1 that sometimes is like kill a creature, destroy a land. Sometimes it's counterspell, kill a creature. Sometimes it's kill two creatures because you're taking them out of their hand. And your opponent, and most discard spells are bad, like Mind Rots, because they just choose the two cards they can afford to lose the most.
Yeah.
In this case, unless you're playing against a Reanimator deck and you unluckily hit the Reanimator targets, then you're like almost all they don't, you're like hitting something good a lot of times.
Yeah, this is two cards at random, and that's a dangerous thing to say.
And to newer players, they're going to play the hymn on turn two, and their opponent's going to discard two lands, and some newer players are going to be like, oh man, it's not something good. No, like a lot of players aren't keeping hands with more than like 3, maybe 4 mana, so if you took two lands, they might miss their next couple land drops.
Yeah. Yep. Or if it's just like late in the game and they have two cards in hand, and you just look at it and go, okay, cool.
You
just mind twist them immediately. Yeah. This card is unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, oh gosh, just...
And it goes in one of my favorite Legacy decks, too.
If you hit them and they lose two lands, most decks run 17 lands.
Yeah.
So it means they have one in play, 14 more somewhere in their deck in hand. Like, the percentages are super down on them hitting their land drops for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what if they put Mind Twist as a rare? Not a chance.
Oh,
but that would be
sweet. That'd be
too much.
Because I think it was Mythic and...
Black's already super powerful.
Yeah, Black's stack already. All right, Simon, what about your favorite card in the set so far?
Okay, so I have to preface this with every time the Holiday Cube comes around, I force Storm, no matter what.
Even when there aren't any Storm cards in the cube, force a Storm.
I learned that playing the Legacy Cube, I was like, wait, Pack 2's coming up. I'm going to make sure there's actually a Tendrils. Oh, there's not? All right, I'm going to play this Blue-Red Tempo-y deck. But anyway, so that... goes into the card that I'm really excited about is Mystical Tutor, just for its application in a limited environment. If you can get like Toxic Deluge, the Diminishing Returns is actually pretty cool too, but I don't know if you're necessarily going to want to play it in a control-y style deck.
Yeah.
But Mystical Tutor just provides you a lot, and especially that it's instant speed. You can just upkeep it if you really need to. Oh, yeah, okay. So, pardon me. Mystical Tutor. 1 blue, instant. Search your library for an instant or sorcery card and reveal that card. Shuffle your library and then put that card on top of it.
On
Huh.
So if we get a blue-black dual land on the play, you can go Mystical Tutor for him and cast him.
Yes. Yes.
A shot unlocked the combo.
Yep, he did it. But see, what I want to do is I'm banking on a couple of cards being printed.
Brain freeze going on top of your library.
You want to run Storm. I want to run the four him deck against your Storm.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I'll just cast Passing Flames. It's not in here yet. It's going to be the Green Mythic. Anyway, I'm well aware. Okay, so I think it's really cool. I really hope Frantic Search gets printed in this because it is a key like cube card, and it would go great in this type of limited environment, just because the versatility it provides. It's good in Reanimator. Yeah, like it just has a lot of flexibility.
It would go into Threshold, into Tempo, and into
It goes like Frantic Search would be a card that is fought over so much that it wouldn't be absurd to put it at common, because the Storm player is probably only going to get two of them anyway.
So
oh, they put that thing in uncommon, though. The battles over that would be real.
Yeah, that's fair.
You're going to find out the player to your right took Frantic Search, and you're going to be more angry over than that. You're like, you're going to find out they took Force Will. You're like, I don't care about the Force Will, but you took the Frantic Search? I needed the Frantic Search.
Yeah,
like, it's worth noting that the uncommons in this set are bonkers good.
Yeah.
And the uncommons that have been shifted to rare, even crazier.
Yeah.
There's a couple of them in here. What else is on your list, Sean? Or Steven.
Steven.
The other
second time the Pierce. Today. Let's see here. Oh yeah. Okay. So I play lands and legacy. So I've gotta throw the shout out to Wasteland. I really hope that.
What does it do?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, guys. I'm dropping the ball today. So you can add one colorless mana to your mana pool.
True colorless mana.
Yep. Yep.
Eldrazi are coming.
Yep. Oh, and then there's also this other ability where you sacrifice Wasteland and you destroy a non-basic land. So
what?
We can kind of guesstimate off of Caracas. It's set number is 240, and there are 249 cards in the set, so that leaves
49 or 59.
It's 59. Oh, it is 59?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's 49.
49.
It's 49. Oh. Yeah, okay. So there's 19 cards, or 19 land cards beyond Caracas, and since it's a K, you're going to... Wait, what?
240 to 249, isn't it?
I can count, guys. anyway, 9 land cards beyond Caracas, and we can assume there's maybe 2 or 3 before Caracas. We're not really sure what cycle we're getting, so there's really no way to tell what the lettering is going to end up being. Mm-hmm. But we can assume, let's say, 11 non-basic lands.
Yeah.
So that means Wasteland can hit all of those and can just knock people's fixing out, which is really cool because...
And I would love to see them reprint. I think they're the Mirage fetch lands that enter the battlefield tapped.
Yeah.
To Wasteland one of those and just really put the screws to them.
Or the bounce lands. I think it's pretty relevant that Marsh Flats is eliminated strategically, and they're not going to put the Khan's fetches, so the Zendikar fetches won't be in here.
There you go. Yeah.
So Wasteland does get better because that means it's not going to probably be fetches.
Yep.
Yeah. If it was fetches, Wasteland would not be as good.
Yeah. Well, sounds sweet. And it has the the City of Brass art from Modern Masters, so that's pretty cool.
Yep.
What else you got for us, Steven?
So the last card I want to talk about is Nevenral's Disc.
I thought you had 4.
Oh.
No? Pick another one, then.
Okay. Well, so after Disc, I'm going to come up with On the Fly.
Okay.
Anyway, so Nevenral's Disc is a really good limited card.
What does it do?
I was about to get into that. Anyway, it's 4 mana. It enters the battlefield tap, and it has 1 tap it, destroy all artifact, creatures, and enchantments. So it's really good at just getting rid of everything in any deck.
Not Planeswalkers.
Yes, you're right.
It's printed pre-Planeswalkers.
But let's be honest, the Dak Faden's just going to take the disc anyway.
That's fair.
So the one thing that's really cool is, like I said, you can play this in any style of deck, but typically you want to play it in your control decks, and it means you don't have to worry about splashing at all. So this lets your non-white decks play a Wrath Effect without having to splash or try and get into Wrath of God. There haven't been any like indestructible creatures or any like spells like that at all that yet. But it's also a good thing to pair with those spells, just because you can just gotcha your opponents.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's worth noting, this is the first time that we're going to see. This is one of the cards that is getting a first time foiling that's not in a from the vault set.
Yeah,
so meaning it won't warp.
It won't warp. Yeah, it won't look like crap because the from the vault foils look like crap. Because we can't swear on the show, because I really want to see what they actually look like.
bad things.
They look bad, is what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah. Flaming pile of fecal matter?
Beyond that, actually, yeah.
That hits the fan and flies everywhere.
Oh, dear. Oh, it's on fire still.
Yeah, it's still on fire. Might need to move.
Probably.
Danger, Will Robinson.
So, I guess since I have to on the fly pick another card, if we are assuming...
Pick a bad card.
Okay, if we're picking a bad card here...
Wait. Oh, no, right there! Go for it!
It doesn't say Defender. He's pointing a giant tortoise. If it said Defender, then I you know what?
I didn't know it was a card I'd be okay until I got spoiled.
So I'm going to preemptively pick the Defender in this set.
Oh.
And I'm going to go with Overgrown Battlements.
Interesting.
What?
Why?
Because it's only good if it's with other Overgrown Battlements.
I did say pick a bad card, didn't I?
Yeah, wow. You did.
Is it in?
No, it's not.
I'm just preemptively picking it. Because if they're going to put a random Defender in here...
And they put Axebane Guardian in the set, too.
No, they're not going to do Axebane Guardian. It's going to be Overgrown Battlement. Because it's going to go into the elf deck that's just like make a million mana. And it's just going to be like, wait, why is this here? It's on elf. So there you go.
Okay, that's a really bad prediction from Steven. Alright, just...
Tell me a bad card. Overgrown Battlement is not bad.
No, it's not bad.
It's just undiscovered.
I'm done. Tell us about your favorite card, Steve.
I'm not allowed to talk about my number one favorite.
Nope, that's mine.
But I'm going to go with my second favorite, Dak Mother Flippin' Faden.
Is that his name?
Yeah, don't just say the M dot.
No.
The Dak F actually stands for Flippin', so it's Dak F. Aiden.
Anyways, so Dak Faden, cool planeswalker.
What does he do?
I'm getting to that, man.
Okay. Oh, you didn't let me explain Overgrown Battlement.
Okay.
There's a reason.
So it's blue, red, and one. Plus one, draw two cards, then discard two cards. Not card advantage, but it's a nice selection. Minus two, steal an artifact. And then minus six, you get an emblem. Anytime you cast a spell, you take control of whatever you targeted. So I'm going out on a limb here and saying that we're going to see more artifacts in this set.
I would hope so.
One of my cards that I'm about to talk about kind of indicates to me, at least, that we're going to have some equipment and some good ones at that. I don't know how relevant the minus six is going to be in this format. We haven't seen a lot of spells that target things.
All the spells that do target them destroy them.
Yeah. But if we get a couple of cards that say minus two attack or something like that.
We'll get some trash commons like that probably.
Yeah. Then suddenly his ultimate becomes very, very good. I like red blue. I think Dak Faden is freaking sweet. I mean, worst case scenario, I steal your Baleful Strix and I have a 1/1 flying death touch to block with or just constantly attack with that you don't get to attack with anymore.
I hope we get some form of mana rocks, though.
I hope we do. Some, like,
well, we do have some. We have the Chrome Rock.
Chrome Rocks. Well, not, that's not mythic rare.
Some regular, like, signets or something.
Yeah, like if they do, like Charcoal Diamond or Sapphire, like the cycle they did from the Commander set.
Soul Ring.
Can we get Soul Ring?
No, we are not getting Soul Ring.
I'm just saying we might get it because it is a Commander staple.
Holy crap.
No, it's not frigid enough time.
Okay, we have Mana Crypt. Like, I really feel like the deck that gets to go, like, turn one, land, Mana Crypt, Soul Ring, Nevenrall's Disc. Like, you're just like, all right, what do you got? Like...
Oh, and then they just try to land to their Chrome Box, and they're just like, all right, I'm going to play a 6-drop next turn. Hope you're ready.
So, Alex, you need to read Chrome Box.
It's not discard.
I thought it was Exile Land.
It's Exile Card. It's non-artifact, non-land card.
Oh, that's fine, too. That's fine.
Okay. You want to let them know what it does?
Well, no, we're not talking about it tonight.
Okay.
So, anyways, maybe not Soul Ring, but I'm sure we'll get some Mana Rocks. My brain went to it because it's a Commander staple.
And a vintage staple. This is a vintage set.
Yeah.
What's on your list, Justin?
What else is on my list? Squadron Hawks. We're going to talk about Squadron Hawks. This is the thing that I was talking about this tells me he clones himself basically. He tutors. Okay, so he's a 1/1 flyer, and he tutors for up to 3 other Squadron Hawks. I mean, that's pretty sweet in a draft format if you can get more than one, and you just.
I drafted 6.
Anyways, so the whole thing with him in Legacy is you play him and you have a bunch of dudes that you can slap some equipment on. You know, pretty straightforward. It's the only thing that Squadron Hawk is good at is wearing equipment, really.
No, that's not exactly true.
Martyr of Sands.
Martyr of Sands, he pairs nicely with a card that I'm about to talk about, actually.
That's fair.
Because Brainstorm is a thing.
Anyways, so, I mean, there's not a whole lot to say about Squadron Hawk beyond that.
Does it fly?
It does fly.
Is it a 1/1?
It is 1/1. I did mention that, actually.
What's a CMC?
I didn't mention that. I apologize for not mentioning the CMC. It is white and 1.
Okay. Just curious.
Okay.
How's the artwork? Is it cool?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I actually like this new art. It's pretty gorgeous.
It's not new art, actually.
That's not new
That's
art?
That's the promo art.
That was the FNM promo.
Yeah, the FNM promo art.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Is that a soul ring in
the original
back?
Art was not as cool.
No. It was pretty boring. But this, with the foiling on the original one,
it
was
sharp.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
Next up is Sharpless Agent.
My good buddy. I call this guy Tom Cruise. He's just hanging upside down all the time.
Mission I was Impossible. Thinking Boondock Saints, where they like
mine.
Fall through with the rope. But it is a green, blue, and 1. There's its CMC, Alex.
Okay.
It's 2/2.
Uh huh.
And it has the word Cascade on it.
What's that do?
I get to flip over my deck until I find a card that costs less than its converted mana cost, which is 3. So we get to find a 2-cost card, and then just play it.
Seems powerful.
Yeah. And so it's just, it's a pretty sweet value card. You know, it's a lot of fun. Looks cool.
For anybody who hasn't played Cascade, also the Cascade resolves before it resolves.
That is very important.
So if you Cascade into a spell that cares about like creatures in play, it's not in play yet.
Yeah.
Balance,
yeah. Balance will resolve and not count the Shardless Agent to its total.
The other thing with Cascade is if you counter the Shardless Agent, Cascade still goes off.
Yep.
Yeah, because it's a casting trigger.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's just so fun and so satisfying. Moving on to my last card, I picked Pyroblast. This card is sweet. It is a red counterspell that also happens to destroy permanents for 1 red. At instant speed, you can choose 1, counter target spell if it's blue, or destroy target permanent if it's blue. This card's definitely a sideboard card, obviously.
Shoot, I mainboard this in Legacy. I'm gonna kill your Delver. I'm gonna kill your Jace.
No.
In constructed play.
In limited constructed play, you can get away with it because of
fair.
The blue.
That's
like,
fair. That's fair.
In constructed force is like 67% of the field.
That is true.
But when it comes to... you know, draft. We can't get away with that. I don't think we can.
Oh, I still will. I don't care.
Okay.
Alex is at the back tables.
Hey, not this time. I'm ready.
But at Uncommon, I expect we'll see a handful of these in the draft.
How much is a handful? Like 5?
Like 3, maybe 4.
You're only counting 1 hand. Stop looking at both your hands.
Oh, I know. I'm just kind of like I'm just trying to weigh it, you know, against the other options. Commons, anyway.
But an interesting thing that we were discussing before the draft is the fact that you can actually target something that isn't blue with this spell if for some reason spell count matters.
Yep. They're differing because we
have storm.
Yeah, there we go. He picked up on what I was throwing down.
Because we're dealing with Pyroblast and Hydroblast being the two cards that mirror each other in the sense.
Mm-hmm.
They are different enough from Blue Elemental Blast and Red Elemental Blast because they affect those cards must actually target the blue or red permanent.
Exactly.
This can just do whatever. It can just target regardless of what its color is. So
exactly.
That's important to know for you legacy players out there.
It's also fun if they print
super fringe cases.
What's the 2-mana clone kills itself on sec? Or kills itself on... Yeah, Phantasmal Image.
Phantasmal Image, yeah.
Yeah, so even though it's originally blue, you can still kill the Phantasmal Image with a Pyroblast and, awkwardly enough, a Hydroblast.
So sweet. Yeah. Any other cards that you're excited about, Justin, or was that the last one for you?
That was four for me. I mean, I can talk about all of these cards and how excited I am for the set.
We're not going to do that tonight.
Okay.
Because I'm talking about my favorite cards now. And at the top of my list is a card that goes very nicely with Justin Squadron Hawks, and that's Jace the Holy Crap, he's being reprinted, Flipping Mind Sculptor.
This is the card that I have not been allowed to talk about.
The mother flipping holy crap mind sculptor, mm-hmm. He's back!
I know, right?
So for 2 blue-blue, you get a Planeswalker, it starts with 3 loyalty, +2, look at the top 3 cards of your library, put any card in your hand.
Wait.
Any 2 cards from your hand back on top of your library. Okay. Oh no, I'm looking at the wrong ability. I'm getting out of order. Getting out of order. So +2 is.
I thought you liked this card.
I played it only twice in my entire life, though. +2 is looking at the top.
He's used it to force him all the other times.
Yeah. The +2 is look at top player's target player's library. You may choose to keep it on top or put it on the bottom. This is Fate Sealing, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
An ability that's shown up on, I think, 2 other actual cards, Fate Seal, the actual Fate Seal, and a Sliver. I think Fate Seal's actually on. For 0 loyalty, you brainstorm. You draw 3, and you put 2 cards from your hand back on top of your library. Super, super sweet.
You play Squadron Hog.
And you shuffle your library, and it's great. Value, value, value. -1 is return target creature to its owner's hand. And then -12, yes, he has 4 loyalty abilities. -12 is, this is a doozy, exile all cards from target player's library. Then that player shuffles his or her hand into his or her library.
Done that a few times. It's fun.
Yeah, they have 6 cards in their hand. Their library now has 6 cards in it.
You don't let them have 6 cards when you do that.
No.
They have way less because they're trying to find a way to kill them and you're countering everything. Oh, standard. Good times.
Oh, yeah. So this is going to be the third time he's ever been printed. He got printed in from the Vault 20 with that terrible foiling. Originally, he was from Old Wake. We're getting Jace back. You can give him foil now. It's gonna look great.
It's not bad foiling. Well, you can get it in foil before.
He was in foil before.
You could, yeah. No way. But those were like $400. These will be a little bit less.
Like $450.
Oh, we can go the opposite direction.
Yeah. Just because it's going to drive the demand of other Jace the Mind Sculptors, and so everything's going to collectively go up.
Exactly. So, yeah, Jace is sweet. He's going to go in some kind of blue control deck. It's going to be great. The next card I want to talk about is one that goes very nicely with Sharpless Agent in my favorite legacy deck ever, Sharpless Bug. That's Baleful Strix, who is a blue and a black 1/1 creature artifact bird flying, death touch, and when they enter the battlefield, draw a card. This is one of Sharpless Agent being the other one, 2 cards that I can think of that have gotten rarity shifted up. Just because these guys at uncommon would be absolutely backbreaking in draft, I think. Because
they were only printed in the Archenemy sets. No, the Planar Chase before.
Yeah, Plane Chase and then Baleful Strix were reprinted in Commander 2013,
And so the uncommons then were just arbitrarily done. Like, it's not like you opening packs, so you knew how many you're getting no matter
exactly,
what.
Exactly, yeah.
For something where there could be randomized numbers, if you haven't cast it, a lot of people will see Baleful Strix and they don't think it's great. If you haven't cast it, like, you'll understand.
Yeah, replaces itself immediately. It kills whatever. You know, it gets cascaded off of Shardless Agent in a lot of decks. Like, this card is unbelievably powerful, and I was sad to see it at rare, but that's
the
okay.
Value.
I mean, the value's too sweet.
He has flying.
Yeah.
He's
like, people have said that this thing should be in standard, and I just go, absolutely not. I mean,
if you think it should be in standard, you need to cast the card once. It's
yeah.
I don't think it should even be in modern.
No, it should be there.
It's too good for modern for sure. I mean, because
combos with. It comes with Sword of the Meek. It comes with play and pulls the sword out of the graveyard immediately.
And it's an artifact, so you can sack it to Clap Thunder. So it's a 2-drop 1/1 flying death touch, which means it trades up to everything.
Yeah.
And it cantrips. Yeah. So you're not actually trading anything. It's just eat the best thing. Like, if you've not played this card, play it and trade with a Goyf.
Yeah.
and you'll understand a whole lot better. Like, that, this card's absurd.
Yeah. This is also the first time we will see this card in foil.
Yeah.
And it's going to be $1 million and look gorgeous.
People will kill spell this thing because they can't. They don't want to lose their Goyf to it.
Oh, yeah.
So they'll bolt this Baleful Strix because they don't want to lose their Goyf.
Yeah, this card is just beautifully designed in every way possible. The next card that I want to talk about a little bit is a card that harkens back all the way to what they call Necro Summer. And it, of course, is Necropotence. This is a 3-black enchantment. So black by black enchantment that says skip your draw step. Whenever you discard a card, exile that card from your graveyard instead, and you may pay 1 life, exile the top card of your library face down, and put that card into your hand beginning of your next end step. This is a weird card. I don't know what to do with this card yet.
I play Storm.
Yes, you played in Storm, obviously. But any paying a life to draw a card is inconsequential. You've got 19 free draws off this as soon as it comes down, as long as you're at full life. Or you've got 5 free draws. Like, this is a... to me, this is showing the design of Eternal Masters being just the set that wants to give you the most broken cards possible.
I mean, it's giving us cards that are banned in Legacy, if that tells you some of the power.
Yeah, level. Restricted and Vintage is the power level of this card.
Mystical here. Tutor is banned in Legacy.
Yeah.
And they're printing that card. So, like, there's cards on this and this Vampiric Tutor. Like, cards that they say are too good for Legacy, you're going to be able to play in Limited.
Yeah. And what you do with these cards is the sky is the limit. I don't know what to do with Necropotence Unlimited yet. I need to see the full set.
You play with Vampire Tutor.
Well, yeah, you do that, I guess.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's going to be the triple black and stuff. It's going to be hard. Like,
but yeah, hard to cast, really good. But if, like, this is a turn one kill in Vintage. Like, yeah. I know that much. You're going to have it. If you're not aware what this card does, you're going to lose to it at some point. Your opponent's going to play it, tap it out on 3, and just say go. And I hope you have a plan at that point. Yeah.
Hopefully you're a blue deck and you can interact with whatever they're trying to do, because then they start missing draw steps, and that's pretty good.
Yeah, hopefully you've got the common counterspell, because counterspell's a common in this set, which is super sweet.
So awesome.
But yeah, Necropotence is absolutely amazing, and I cannot believe they reprinted it. Like, this is as close to a Power 9 card that I think we will see in this set.
Also, remember to be careful with Necropotence, because if you read the card, you do get those cards at your end step, so you will have to clean up.
Yeah. Yes.
So keep that in mind whenever you cast your Necropotence.
So don't do what Alex says and pay 19 life and draw 19 cards. You'll be pitching them.
Well, that's 19 life over the course of the game.
I know. Yeah.
I mean, this card is dumb. It is dumb.
Well, if you draw enough mana pump spells... and Tendrils of Agony, because we're playing Storm.
Yep.
Then you just draw 19 at the end.
Oh, no, you just... they're going to put Reliquary Tower as one of the land cycles.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool. And that would be appropriate for Commander.
There you go.
Okay.
We did it.
Solve the format, guys. We're done. There you go. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. All right. And the very last card that I want to talk about, this is a strictly limited card. This does not show up in Legacy or Vintage or anything. It's good old Werebear.
But in Limited, it's...
In Limited, he is a house. He's going to go in the blue-green madness deck. He's a 1 and a green for a 1-1 that taps to add a green to your mana pool.
Yeah, Threshold.
That has Threshold, and Threshold is, if you have 7 or more cards in your library, in your graveyard, Threshold activates. And this creature gets +3/+3 as long as you have 7 cards in your graveyard. Turns into a 2-mana 4/4.
That taps for mana.
And it's common. What the hell are they thinking?
They wanted a mana fixer.
Yeah, Rar, exactly. Now, my only beef with Mr. Werebear here is the fact that they made him a human, because he was just a bear druid and when he was originally printed. They also changed his flavor text. Currently, it reads it as, "To become is to understand." The original printing was, "He exercises the right to bear arms." And he has bear arms in the original art.
It's not a comedy set, Alex.
I don't care. That was a wide release. Like, that was an expert level expansion.
I don't know.
Why did they have to change it? Why did they change the art? It was perfect. I mean,
I think it's because the guy who is in Savage Punch has finally turned into the bear, and now he's like, "I'm sorry
for hitting
you guys."
Hey.
Sean is the werebear.
Or as people have aggressively told me, Chuck Norris.
And to become Sean is to understand Sean.
There we go.
Ooh.
Hence why I don't understand Sean.
Hey. No, I don't. I think this card, like, gives me pause to think Frantic Research is a common that might probably be uncommon.
Yeah.
Because if you have like three of this dude in play and you play a Frantic and turn on Threshold, that's like 12 power.
Yeah.
Like,
and you have Nimble Mongoose.
Like, I don't know if Frantic Research is going to be a common, buddy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and if we get Basking Root Walla, you know, the Madness one.
I don't think we're going to cross Madness and Threshold.
Oh, how sweet would that
I
be,
doubt
though.
That.
Just Ooh. How sweet. Well,
We at least get Nimble Mongoose, right? Or not Nimble Mongoose. What's his face? Two color... Or one in the green, discard a card, changes color. And he gets +1/+1, I think. Or does he? No, he only changes color.
That's Wild Mongrel, and it's not a cost ability. You just discard a card.
Yeah, you just discard.
Yeah, so that would be cool if we saw a Wild Mongrel show up in the set.
Yeah, because he turns on the Threshold.
Yep. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see him at all, actually. That'd be cool. So yeah, not a card that's going to be like breaking the format or anything, but it's Werebear.
And this is... Well, I mean, Werebear gets you to Regal Force.
Yeah.
Werebear does get you to Regal Force, which is awesome.
I mean, there's just so many good cards in this set already.
Yeah, so...
And they went back to the beautiful Templating on Counterspell and Wrath of God.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, let's talk about that real quick. So, zero flavor text on Counterspell or Wrath of God.
They're Counterspell and they're twice Wrath.
Could we expect one of these in each color?
Maybe. A card that has just a fact and that's it.
That'd be kind of cool.
I'm not sure what your black card would be.
Murder. Destroy target creature.
And this, though?
I don't know.
Black's already good. They could afford
a
murder.
That was the card that they printed with no whiffer text.
Yeah.
Red's kind of a tricky one to
Lightning
pull.
Bolt.
Lightning
Deal 3
one.
Damage.
And then...
What
if it just reprinted the Boon Cycle from Alpha? Recall, Giant Growth, Ritual.
They can't do it.
Lightning Bolt, Healing Salve. Obviously, they can't do that. You know, that's power restricted.
No. What if they do that except for, like, well, they can't because it's reserved. But
well,
they don't do Ancestral. Yeah, they can't do it. Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So, before we get on to the known archetypes of the format so far, we all have our hopes and predictions. So, let's go around the table really quick and, like, talk about what we predict and fingers crossed. We will see in the set. I'm going to talk to Justin first. We're going to work around the table. And predictions. Don't need two predictions.
Two predictions.
Sean just tripped out.
Okay. Two predictions. Let's skip me.
Or if Steven has one. Does he have a prediction for Eternal Masters?
Well, okay. You guys have already heard my predictions with
Storm. Yes, a lot of Storm.
However... I have no idea what the Green Mythic's going to be.
I would guess that we're probably going to see Natural Order or Glimpse of Nature.
Yeah.
Would be probably pretty easy.
That, with the push on Elves, Glimpse of Nature makes a lot of sense. So does Natural Order.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to see if it's both. I doubt it would be both.
But it could be.
I'm guessing we're going to get some generic fatties for the reanimation deck. Probably not like Grizzlebrands, but like an Inkwell Leviathan, Sphinx of the Final Word.
Can we get Bloodsteel?
Bloodsteel has a shuffle trigger though when it goes to the graveyard.
Yeah, that's right. So does the other one?
Darksteel? I do not believe Darksteel has the shuffle clause.
No, but I don't think they'd put an infect in there.
Yeah.
No, Bloodsteel's the infect.
Darksteel's the infect.
That's possible. I would think Inkwell would be a very good possibility.
Yeah. Or maybe we could just see, you know, like Regal Force is in the set, but it loses value when you reanimate it.
We don't have another White Mythic. What if it's a Angel of the Angel Exile Three Things?
Oh, like the Trinity?
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
Oh, no, I would think it'd be Blazing Archon, maybe.
Blazing Archon was sweet, yeah.
Blazing Archon. I think it's going to be interesting for me to see if how much more they help these archetypes. This early, I would assume they're helping some more. So if we get a common or uncommon Exhume, because that one lets both players get something, so it kind of balances some over reanimate. But I'm excited to see how much more they help legacy decks. Not so much from the limited aspect. Limited format's already looking cool, but how much they help the legacy decks to where people don't have as much money to spend on them.
Yeah.
So I have my
your prediction?
Theory, my prediction.
Go for it.
White Mythic is not going to be the Angel. It's going to be Stoneforge Mystic.
And Mythic?
On the year that she's a GP? Maybe.
I've done that before.
You put her at Rare. I don't think you can put Stoneforge at Mythic.
That being said...
I think you make a lot of people upset. Yeah.
When's the last time they printed Sarah Avenger? It's been a little while, right?
The white whites three.
No, she does regular rare.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the white three.
That'd be a really cool.
I think it's been a couple of years. She was at a core set not that long ago, but like maybe her to rare.
Yeah,
Time Spiral, Sarah Avenger.
Yeah, she was reprinted in
a core set in 12 or 13.
She was in the set that I came
because they're trying to put into the game. They're trying to put enough Death and Taxes pieces in here because Death and Taxes is if they put Rashad Important here, it's one of the more accessible decks also.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
Yeah. I my one fear is that I hope they don't make the two green mythics kind of like we were talking about with the elf deck and being one of the major archetypes. If they're just two mythics that just only work in that archetype really, like Fairhoof Wood or Natural Order Wood. Like I hope we see a little bit more. Spread.
Well, Crater Hoof could go in Sneak Attack.
Yeah, but you don't get like if we're playing these like you would a traditional legacy deck. And you're not doing that. You know, you're gonna have if you're playing like green red Sneak Attack or whatever your color is, and you do Sneak Attack in your Crater Hoof Behemoth, and you have a sizable board, you know, you can kill them.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking for more of like just you know these are the cards that obviously go in the right archetypes.
Yeah, that's
fine. So I hope we see something a little bit more diverse, but I don't know what you put in. At Mythic for green.
Yeah. I'm interested to
maybe
see.
A Walker.
There's enough cards to where they could print one or two other legacy decks, like quote unquote legacy decks where they print a lot of pieces for it. And I'm interested to see what other legacy decks they print. If they print like some dredge cards, if they print just like what other things they're going to put in here, because there's definitely enough space to put some other legacy decks. Because we have Ikarid in here.
Oh well, what if Dread Return ended up being?
I think was Dread Return not on here? No. Dread Return was in the last duel deck.
Oh,
yes,
yeah,
versus
okay.
Curse. So I doubt it'd be in this one. But yeah, or I guess they could just do like Vigor Mortis or some other effect like that as opposed to going Exhum, go with like a 4-drop reanimate.
Yeah, totally.
That's very possible.
I mean, it's just cool that it's like we're talking about all the decks that are getting pieces printed. You know, Shardless Bug has Baleful, Deathrite, Shardless, Him, and Cabal Therapy to an extent on that one. That are just like they're giving you all the tools just sort of. Building these decks.
They're putting together this Rug Cascade limited deck that looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be cool if they put like probably not that, but like Ancestral Visions maybe. But more than anything, like Hypergenesis. As the green mythic. Because now you have these cascaders and they cascade into Hypergenesis, but because it's limited, there's less consistency of actually hitting it. So more often than not, you're going to have to be suspending to it.
And that's
like
kind of cool, too, because then you can also do Sneak Attack, Hypergenesis, Sneak Attack, Show and Tell. Show and Tell.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
Hypergenesis is one that I wouldn't be surprised to see like pop up in here.
I don't think we're going to see more Planeswalkers. I think they said there's only two in this set, I hope that's not right, because in Eternal Invention, or Modern Masters 2, we got Tezzeret, Karn, Elspeth, Sarkhan, I want to say.
No, I don't think we want more Planeswalkers, though, because there's so many powerful cards in the set. Keeping up with just the cards people are casting, let alone a Planeswalker, is going to be hard.
Yeah. I mean, like, these are not weak cards we've seen so far.
We got the sweet Vindicate.
The Vindicate art is just such a kick in the teeth, though. That it's basically. I think this was the promo art, the judge promo. I think, there was some promo of Vindicate that used this exact art.
I thought that was just the Vintage Masters art.
That might be what it is. I can't remember which art it is on this one. If someone wants to look that up, because I remember the original Vindicate art is so much cooler than this.
TIE Fighter.
Yeah, exactly.
The copyright issues, man.
Ooh, I think it just changed the shape of the wings. It's fine. does anybody like have a prediction they want to throw out there? You know, hopefully we see a dual land cycle in here. That's going to give us some color fixing. We have to cast Maelstrom Wanderer somehow.
Our rumor.
Well, let's talk about archetypes first before we go into that. That is a huge bomb to drop that I think would be great to end on. So we're kind of looking at what we have. Archetype wise, and Justin's got it right here on the phone for us. So, in one of the articles that I think it was Adam Prosek who helped develop the set, he writes about a couple of the enchantments or the archetypes we already have that he is confirming for this set. So, we have green white enchantments, which is how that's going to work. I have no idea. We have Sylvan Library so far. Woo! We've got blue black reanimator, which we've already seen a lot of pieces of that.
So excited.
We've got green blue threshold, which is going to be the werebear deck, the nimble mongoose deck. It's going to be an aggressive sort of beat down card drawing advantage deck, kind of tempo y. Red green fast aggro. Cool.
You haven't gotten a whole lot of info on that
every
yet.
Time.
Yeah. Yeah, but just like.
Sometimes it goes ramp, sometimes it goes this.
Burning tree, so you repent.
That's fair.
And Burntree, I mean, we have Bloodbraid Elf is being printed in this set with brand new art, which is...
Oh, gosh, that'd be so disgusting. Bloodbraid Elf into Burning Tree Emissary.
I mean,
into Price of Progress. Oh, wait.
Hey. Let's not go there. That's scary. So that's going to be kind of cool. And of course, the black-green elf deck we've been talking about. The only reason we know it's black-green is because Shaman of the Pack is getting reprinted.
And Deathrite Shaman.
Deathrite, yeah. I mean, I don't really count that as it's an elf, but I look at Shaman of the Pack and just go, okay, we get it.
He's a Planeswalker.
Oh, yeah, Deathrite Shaman is a Planeswalker.
Absolutely. With its best ability being black.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a black card. Who are we kidding? I thought that Shaman of the Pack being reprinted was kind of a goofy one because I don't even think Legacy Elves plays this.
It's not because I think in the format, if you printed Archdruid or if you printed Azuri, that might be too good. And so this is their Lord, quote unquote, that isn't a constant effect.
I can see that. Sure.
So it's a Lord that you don't have to worry about, like, oh, this is getting out of hand.
Yeah, absolutely. And so those are the ones we have kind of established so far, which leaves us, we're looking for like a blue-red now.
I will say it's worth noting. In the article, he also mentioned that the only tribal that's going to be in this set is elves. There will be no goblins, there will be no humans or spirits or anything else.
I was wrong, I was guessing goblins. I still think Goblin Guide has a shot, maybe not, but I think he has a shot, like it's just the aggro deck.
Yeah.
But because he needs a reprint, and if we wait till next summer, those burn decks can be so expensive.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we're looking at things like, you know, for Blue Red, we've seen Wee Dragonauts get spoiled tonight.
Storm,
yes, you know.
Just tempo.
Yeah, tempo's fine.
Is it tempo, man?
Red Black is a really obscure one that I can't quite figure out where you have cards like Void being reprinted and spoiled. Wherever Void went, right there, with that goofy new art. I miss the old art, personally.
I mean, red-black's looking pretty controlling.
Yeah, so we have a red-black control archetype with a lot of hand disruption and some removal spells.
But we haven't seen the red aggro creatures yet.
Right, which gives me pause to say that, too. But that might just go with the blue-red tempo deck. And we have...
But also go in the red-green aggro deck. Like, that's the problem. It looks like a lot of these decks are going to fight over a lot of cards, which is how they're going to keep the limited format in check.
Yeah.
Because, like, the blue-green madness and the blue-black reanimator deck are going to fight over counterspell.
Yeah. And we definitely saw that in the same article. I think they talk about how the archetypes will actually bleed over into each other. Mm-hmm. So there'll be a lot of card share here then. Black-white, we've only seen Vindicate so far, so maybe we'll see Sword to Plowshares.
I'm thinking a sword will be in here.
Yeah, so there's some kind of black-white something that I don't really know. We haven't seen enough commons and uncommons to really make a good conjecture about anything.
Aside from elves and reanimator, nothing looks so rigid that you can't bend and make your own kind of thing going, which is pretty cool.
Right.
And there's enough bleed over to where you're not going to have like the unchecked elf deck that goes just ham. Like there's going to be enough battling at draft tables.
Yeah. Seeing a card like Maelstrom Wanderer makes me think that we're going to have some kind of maybe 3 or 4 color, maybe even 5 color green ramp deck that wants to hit this on its top end of some kind. Thinking about like green black, you know, what are we going to see there? Oh, that's elves, I'm sorry. But green white, what is that going to look like? So
enchantments and other than
that. Oh, I mean, said that one already.
Red white. I'm guessing red white's going to be equipment.
Yep. We talked about Sunforge a little bit. We talked about Squadron Hawk being a great way to carry equipment. Lots of.
What if red white's just all 1/1s and Skull Clamp?
What if. Oh, man. What if they reprint Skull Clamp in this?
That's what I'm saying, man. Oh, come on. Man. I'll play my Dak Fade and take that Skull Clamp all day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
put it on my Grixis Baleful Strix and go ham.
But it just killed the whole Strix.
Yeah, now I've drawn 3 cards off Baleful Strix.
That's fair. All right. So, hopefully we see some really, really cool stuff come out very, very soon. Blue-white, obviously another color pairing that we haven't really seen a whole lot of. Probably some kind of control deck.
Probably blue-white flyers like it always is.
I mean, yeah, but you have to, it's got Balance and Jace. That's my deck. That's what I want to play. Balance and Jace. And Wrath of God.
And Wrath of God. And Force of Will. And Counterspell.
Oh, yeah.
And Brainstorm.
And Daze.
Yeah.
and Hydroblast, because, you know. And I have to have a unexpectedly absent.
Too. Yeah, whenever they fetch.
Exactly, yeah.
Maybe there's a look for their Squadron Hog.
What if there's a dragon deck? With Rorix.
Oh, yeah, that's true, I guess. Oh, Dragonstorm.
Ooh.
There is a number of dragons.
With Storm, okay, Steven's getting his wish. All right.
Can we please, Blizzard?
I would not be surprised if we saw Dark or Cabal Ritual or any of the Red Rituals, Pyretic, you know, any of those, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I won't be surprised.
And see, another thing that I think that's really cool about this is since it's a supplemental product, the Storm scale can somewhat be lenient.
Yeah.
Because this isn't actually going into any set.
Yeah, and we did see Storm being an archetype in Modern Masters 1. Yep. That actually worked half the time. So, that's kind of our big hype-palooza, party-palooza over there. The current Modern Eternal Masters spoilers. Like I said, there's 54. Have they updated recently? Nope, still 54. We're doing good. By the end of the set, it's going to be... But by the end of the week, we'll have probably at least half of the set spoiled. I'm super excited about this entire set. I know I'm playing in two PPTQs, back-to-back weekends. Super hyped for that. I hope the draft is set.
I am. It's weekend before and weekend after my birthday. So I'm playing both of those.
Happy birthday to Sean.
I'm excited.
We bring cake.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I will always eat cake.
I get to do the Common Ground Games Eternal Weekend on my birthday.
Whoa! That's like a day or two after mine. Hey, birthday brother!
My birthday's the next weekend.
Yeah! Mine's in July.
Get out!
Woo!
Oh, I mean, we're happy for you too. We're not happy.
Then you can't come to my party.
Oh.
Where there will be an Eternal Master's Graft.
Ooh. Are you going to supply that?
Oh, I don't know about that.
See, there's going to be a draft. I don't know how it's going to get there. I'm not paying for it.
Any, like, winks at all of us?
Bring your prize packs, guys. We'll see how much money my grandma sends me on my birthday card. We'll do that. We'll see what happens.
Oh, this is getting sweet.
She listens to your podcast and just sends you a booster box instead or something.
She doesn't have an iPhone or a computer. Oh, she doesn't work. I can do that. Okay, man. We got this. Okay.
Hey, Edward, how many boxes do you need to do this?
She calls me Alex. Thank you very much.
Wait, does everyone now know your first name?
Oh, they probably already do.
Okay. I didn't, but I'm going to use it now.
Anyway, so at the top of the show, before Sean was able to be introed, he showed us a message that I think it was James that had posted into one of your guys' chat rooms.
Yep.
Then this came from a, I want to say, pretty credible source. This is the same guy who apparently leaked the existence of Eternal Masters. Is that correct?
Yeah, so from what I'm reading is on MTG Salvation's forum. It's in the rumor mill. It's tagged new format on its way. It's by the posters named Oblivioned One. And according to all the comments below, this is one of the people who originally got the call on Eternal Masters being a thing right before it was ever announced.
Okay.
So he's one of the ones who called that happening. Whether he's a leak, whether he knows somebody on the inside, or whether he's just guessing. Luckily, don't know. but he's been right on that and some other stuff.
Yeah.
And so his post is very simple.
Is this the same guy who also called the Splinter Twin Band as well?
I believe those were one in the same.
Yeah, because that was in the same post.
I believe that was one in the same. So his post is very simple and says, before the end of the Eternal Master spoilers, Wizards will announce a new competitive format. That's all I've got. Peace out. So that's all his post said.
That's verbatim.
Verbatim. Yep. Word for
word. So if going by his timetable, we will have, theoretically, a new Eternal format, a new format of some kind before June 18th.
No, June 10th is the release. So the spoilers happened before June 10th. Yeah.
So we are literally 3 weeks out from that happening.
So like June 3rd.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the Monday after next.
So what if that's actually why they took away the Modern Pro Tour? Because they're going to have this format be a Pro Tour next year.
I don't think that's
the case. I thought we were not allowed to talk about conspiracies.
That's not the case because it's limited print run and they took away the Modern Pro Tour. And they've even said to advertise standard.
Yeah.
That's
purely financial reasons.
Now, we've talked a lot before about them needing to address the issue with Legacy and the reserved list issue. And I had said before, my guess was that they were going to announce it about a week before Eternal Masters came out. I was talking about that earlier today.
Are you Oblivion 1, Sean?
I'm not. I wish. I wish I would have a lot more money in my pocket. But
he wouldn't be sitting here right now.
Right. Just because Wizards... I would be out making cash, man. I would be buying everything right now because I would know everything. But it would be... I guess it was going to happen about a week before the set came out, just to get the final push of people hyped to buy the cards. Because they said it's not going to be a ton of modern cards in it. So unless people are looking to get into Legacy or played Legacy before, they don't really want to spend the $50, $60, $70, $100 to play events of Eternal Masters, because they're like, I'm never going to use these cards. So in order to get the last few crawlers who didn't want to do it to begin with into the store to buy these packs to make sure it sells out week one, they announce before and go, by the way, format's now more acceptable, and then everybody storms the store.
Yeah.
So that was my guess. I had seen some people talk about them announcing it 2-3 weeks later, and that doesn't make sense to me. I think it's going to be before.
Yeah.
I am disappointed that the Legacy GP is the weekend it comes out, because then it's going to be harder to go battle that. But
yeah. Because, in my mind, the biggest question I've had about Eternal Masters as a physical product has been, who is this actually for?
Mm-hmm.
Because the established Legacy players already have their Legacy cards.
Yep.
And the newer players who want to get into Legacy can get these for a relatively cheap amount. You know, prices are already showing some fluctuation, you know, positively for, you know, on the downward side of these things. But that still leaves the dual lands and the restricted list cards, reserve list cards. So I'm wondering,
which have just gone up to compensate for the...
Yeah, the dual lands are going absurdly. It's absolutely out of control. So this has to be... There has to be another way that they're using this to do... There has to be another reason they've made this set.
Right.
I mean...
And there's a few options people have talked about.
Yeah.
There's the ban the reserved list, which I still don't like.
No. That's the best.
There's not, outside of the dual lands, there's not a lot of cards on the reserved list that are mandatory from many decks.
Yeah.
There are decks that do need them, like Lion's Eye Diamonds and things like that help a lot of decks.
Tabernacle.
But
Gaia's Cradle. I think aside from the dual lands, I think we talked about this on a previous episode, where I think it's only 15 cards that directly impact Legacy.
Yeah. But it's normally like impacts one deck.
Yeah, it's one
and I think
deck.
The Storm deck can
decks.
Survive without Lion's Eye.
Yeah.
Like it can with Chromoxes, things like that, it can survive without
it
Lion's
Eye.
It
slows down a little bit.
I don't like banning it, because then you punish those players.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking earlier today, I would love to see them make an Eternal format that blends Vintage and Legacy and brings in the concept of, yes, we will ban some things, but we will also reserve things.
Ooh.
And if they reserve the reserved list.
Ooh.
So that means you can only run one of any reserved list card. So that way the people who get the legendary duels they might print are not so far behind the people who have the regular duels, because they can only run one of that regular duel anyway. So you can run one Underground Sea, one Tropical Island... But then there's also the legendary version. You can run as many of those as you want, but they're legendary.
Right. But if they're blending Legacy and Vintage, all of a sudden you have to start buying Black Lotus and Power.
That's what I'm saying. They blend in the aspect that they still have a ban list. Power 9, Yawgmoth's Will, those cards are still banned. Because they don't want the broken turn one decks.
They just ban it outright.
They keep what's banned in Legacy banned.
Well,
then they reserve the reserved list. And then they print the new fixed dual lands. And now you have a Legacy format.
Right. But you said that if they blend Legacy and Vintage together as well.
And as far as the concept that you have a ban list and a reserve list.
Although, I understand. I got you.
I still think they could get away with...
And Vintage and Legacy are still things.
Yes.
Yeah.
That just kind of slowly die because this exists.
Vintage won't, because it still accesses something that you can't use.
Right,
Power
exactly,
9.
Yeah.
That's still banned.
But no, I actually think if they just ban the fast mana that doesn't have restrictions... And I think also you should ban Mana Crypt. I think that would be okay. So like that gives decks access to ban Time Walk as well. Like that gives you one. I don't know. I guess one Ancestral would still be too nuts for.
A Yawgmoth's Will is still absurd.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
I think you keep it where things banned in Legacy are still banned. Power 9's still banned. But now you reserve the cards that are making it a price gouge.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I can't afford an Underground Sea, but that's okay because I could only run one anyway, so I'm not that far behind.
I can run a Watery Grave with a little bit of downside.
Right, or I run, they print the new Legendary Duels, and I just run two of those, and if somebody Wastelands one, I fetch the other one, and then I run Basics.
Yeah. It is worth noting that there is no confirmation on actual Legendary Duels.
No,
don't take that
not.
As gospel.
But that's just been like one of the most common suggestions.
Yeah.
Yep. Another theory is, what if they do... to Modern what they did to Extended, where they expand it and just be like, this is now Legacy, but the restricted list is gone. Like, restricted list is the only thing not in this new Modern format.
But that still comes down to the fact that, so if you get rid of the restricted list,
you kill
a number of decks.
Legacy. You still have Legacy, but now Modern evolves into this bigger format.
But now Modern's just a mess that's too similar to Legacy.
Yes.
Like, that format wouldn't survive on the sense that all these aggro decks, like, that's one of the problems I've had for a while. Some people disagree, but I think the aggro decks and the burn decks would have such an advantage because they have all these new burn spells they didn't have access to before, and your opponents that aren't one color are fetching shock lands. So they're taking so much damage. These burn decks are like, I only have to deal 13 to this guy, and I have all these burn spells as options. I'm not losing.
Yeah, Price of Progress becomes a main deckable card that can just kill you.
Oh,
yeah.
It already is.
I mean, it is, yeah, but it's going to literally destroy
you. The problem is it hurts portions of the wheel. Like, you have aggro, you have combo, you have tempo, you have control, you have ramp. And, like, you hurt the ramp deck, you hurt the control deck, you hurt, like, these 3 and 4 color decks, and you make it too tilted to the aggro side.
Yeah.
So, like, I think you need to have a blend that's... And I think what you're going to end up seeing is that you're going to have standard be this kind of slow, fair format. Modern be slightly faster, but, you know, still turn 4s, turn 5s or later. You'll have this new legacy that allows people to play these faster decks. It's not as broken as vintage, but you allow that craziness to happen.
Yeah.
And you just... All you need to do is... It's not that you need to get rid of the reserve list because they're too good. You just need to fix the price problem.
Yeah.
So make it where the reserve list is no longer an incumbent, an hindrance, because people can only run so many of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when it comes down to it, like, a set like Eternal Masters has enough pieces that, you know, if you look at any one of our collections, I mean, Sean, how close are you to any given Legacy deck from what you have right now from Modern decks?
I have Legacy Eldrazi.
Okay. good example.
Legacy Merfolk is a few wastelands away.
Yeah, and some forces.
And some forces. Yeah. I'm missing one force.
Yeah. Steven, what about you? Are you close to Legacy deck because of anything they're reprinting here?
I've been talking about it the entire time.
Storm, huh?
But no. Actually, Storm is my secondary deck in Legacy that I have been slowly building.
Okay, all right.
Although I just recently sold my Infernal Tutors because I needed the money to... travel all the GPs
things
that I'm going to
happen.
But
right.
Yeah. Like, if there was a deck I was going to build towards, it would be Storm.
Yeah. And Justin, I know that you play a lot of Jeskai Delver in Modern. You're pretty close to playing Jeskai Delver in Legacy, I'm assuming.
I've got my Banner School, my Stone Forge Mystics, and my Jits.
So yeah.
Like, it's very close. Like, you're going to have a lot of Modern decks that can port, because this EMA puts us very close to Stoneblade, to Miracles, to Elves, to Fish,
lands.
To Reanimator, to Lands, to Death and Taxes, based on this and what
Many
else has recently been printed.
As well.
Yeah, and anything else recently printed. This puts us very close to a lot of those cards. And Shardless Bug. There's so many things we're getting close to now. Show and Tell. Because of recent promos like Grizzlebrand and Stoneforge Mystic. And this set, and what's already in Modern.
What if all of those GP promos, Stoneforge, Grizzlebrand, Batterskull, what was before the Grizzlebrand or the Batterskull? It was a...
Was it Primetime?
Primeval Titan. Yeah, even Primetime Titan sees Lipsy play Legacy.
I think it was Acidic Sling.
Was it?
No, GP?
GP promos.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I think it was Primetime. But like, what if all of those are just, you know, it's been like in the background just kind of going, have they figured it out yet?
They didn't.
Do they see what we're doing? Guys, we're giving them Legacy decks.
I don't think they realized that far in advance.
Jit was a GP promo a couple years before then. I mean, come on. When are these guys going to figure it out what we're doing? And we're all going to go one day, oh, all right, we're all a bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
Thanks, Wizard.
You're not going to have the best Legacy decks with this, but you will have playable Legacy decks, which is not something you could have said before.
Yeah.
Yep. And to any of you guys who are considering building lands with just what you have here, Tabernacle is very, very important. So if you are going to play lands...
Call Steven. He has one for sale.
No, I don't. I'm hanging on to mine because I love the deck. But you need to pick up your Tabernacles before the mass... I want to like start playing this deck. I mean, it's not going to be mass, but I would expect at least an extra 150 to 200 lands players because of EMA. So that means the extremely small supply of Tabernacles, which are now sitting around 800, you want to pick that up now before it goes up to a grand, maybe, 1,200.
Yeah.
Like,
Does it have a promo printing?
No. So you have the English Tabernacles, and then you have the Italian Tabernacles, and
the Italian
ones were in higher print due to how the earlier sets distributions were. But the Italian art is like more vibrant, and it's so beautiful. Like, I have an Italian one because it looks amazing.
Humble brags.
Well, hashtag. I mean, I already play lands. Like, I have to have it.
That's fair.
You know, I just got to point out one random little tidbit. How confusing it has been looking at lists of tournaments with, like, sealed and draft, because it's like EM tournament, EMA tournament.
Yeah.
Because thanks to Eldritch Moon coming out.
Yeah.
They needed to do a better job naming this. I honestly want to say that they named this first. I mean, this is just an easy thing to name. It's a Tournament Masters. I mean, what else are they going to call it?
Ta-da!
Yeah. The brainstorming session for that one at R&D took about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
They walked in like, all right, Eternal Masters, right, guys? Yep, all right. Lunch.
And then R&D down the hall is like, Eldritch Moon.
They both run to like the head of the wizard. They're like, hey, I have a name. And it also has the abbreviation.
Abbreviations.
Like, guys, they're the same thing. Put an A on the end of
anagram?
Yours. It's not an anagram. It's like abbreviation that works, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last thing I want to point out, though, and this is probably my favorite part of Eternal Masters, is the art on Goblin Charbelcher. So the original one is kind of a boring, like, little, like, pew-pew cannon. This one has a goblin who is shoveling out a couple of items, and of note, there is a Stormcrow and a Black Lotus being flung into the background of Goblin Charbelcher. So I just wanted to point that out. I think it's really cool. And I will try my darndest to figure out how to play this one in draft. Because I don't think you can do it in sealed, but draft you can probably get.
Oh, this is what you Mana Crypt Soul Ring out.
Yeah.
This would be more sealed than draft, because draft's way faster.
Well, yeah, but if you're looking for the critical pieces to make this actually work, like if we do get rituals, this is how you do it. Like,
you know, you just hit them for two or three every once in a while.
That's fair.
This is part of the Red Green Aggro deck.
This is what I've been telling him this entire time. This is like, just play this in a low count, cheap creature deck.
I just want to kill
them. You hit a mountain and you just like double bolt them every once in a while.
Oh, it doesn't sacrifice either.
No. No, it's really
if it's
good.
A mountain, it doubles the damage.
Huh. Okay. Well, there you go. I learned something today. Alex, what is going on?
You're about to have Josh McCurley on your podcast.
Yeah, you're gonna need some
books. Didn't know what Charbelcher did?
I thought you sacked it because it was always a one turn kill anyway. Like it mattered if it wasn't there anymore. So, Eternal Masters.
Yay!
Sean, you're not yaying.
Yeah.
Yay! Okay, yeah. There we go.
it'll be great to play limited.
Yeah.
So good.
Could not be more excited about this set.
Yeah.
We're going to get more spoilers, maybe a brand new format before the spoilers are over. Who knows what's going to happen to Magic at that point? I don't know. Are you checking one more time to see if spoilers happen?
Yep, checking one more time. None.
Nope.
All right.
Don't worry, though. We're going to hit this end button, and then bam!
It'll be like 10.
Yep.
They'll spoil.
It's going to be Tendrils of Agony.
I'm telling you. I'm ready. I'm a storm with you, bro.
Yeah, let's
storm
do
buddies
it.
For life. Oh, thunder buddies for life.
We're not going to be in the same draft.
They're just going to give you literally all of the storm cards. All of them.
That's the rest of the set. It's all storm cards.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's going to be Empty the Wards, Tendril of Agony, Dragon Storm.
Nah,
and they reveal the name of the set is actually Storm Masters.
Dude, I'd be fine with that. Everyone gets to draft Storm.
But if they name it Storm Masters, we have to have Storm Crow.
What? Who wants to build a cube with nothing but storm cards?
Oh, this is my cube. Thank you. I don't know if there's enough cards, but we're going to give it a go.
You put multiples.
Okay, so that's really weird, though. Because you have to design red to have just a whole bunch of dragons that don't contribute to storm.
All right, I think we're going to call it right before Steven and I go way off the deep end here.
I love
to see you guys soon, though, is the Storm Cube. We're working on it. So that was fun. 12 Masters is going to be sweet. Be sure to check us out next week for more spoilers. Get ready for the Eternal Masters review show, which is going to be hella cool. We're going to have Josh McCurley. He is a local level 2 judge on the show, and he's going to tell us all about the real truth about Eternal Masters. That's going to be a great time. You should buy one of the shirts if you haven't bought a shirt already. But yeah, you can check us out every week on mtgcast.com and all the other great casts that are on there. Find us on Facebook. Just look for EOT Newsflash Network on Facebook. Find us on Twitter at EOT Newsflash. Send all of your love, hate, and respect to EOTNewsflash@gmail.com. And Steven, what are we going to do next week?
Well, can I throw in a plug for Josh since he's about to come on?
I just plugged Josh.
Yeah, but his Twitch.
Oh, yeah. So go for it.
So every Friday night, starting around 6 p.m. Central Time.
Yep.
Maybe 7 p.m. Josh McCurley plays Vintage. Infant NO underscore one.
And he does it while getting drunk.
It is hilarious.
It's the best thing ever. And I might be in that Twitch chat, actually, so you can talk to me on there, too.
Yep.
But yeah, so we'll have him on soon, pretty soon. Now, Steven, what are we going to do next week?
Just what I did this past weekend. Let's do it again.
Take all of the turns. All right. Well, for Josh. Josh isn't on the show yet. We're going to talk about him anyway. For Justin, Sean, and Steven, thanks for listening, guys. And tune in next week. We'll talk to you guys then.